Hi there, this is Kathy Buttrin speaking, and you know, I have to tell you, I am so glad that you're joining me today, that you're listening to this audio, and I think I'm glad because it's something that we all need to hear. And we know that God has something very special for us, but as women, sometimes we struggle with our confidence issues and our courage issues, and we forget that truly it is God confidence, and He is the one who directs us on our path. So I just truly believe that this audio will be a blessing to you and an encouragement to you. Listen, before we get started, I know that some of you listening may not know who I am, and I'd love for you to come and visit me at my website. You'll find me at www.kathybuttrin.com. That's Kathy with a K, K-A-T-H-Y. BUTRYN.com. So come on by, visit me there, get to know me a little bit, and I would love to get to know you too. My email address is there. Why don't you click on that, send me a little note, let me know about you, and I'll really enjoy getting to know you and having the opportunity to meet you. Well, you know, as I was saying at the top of this audio, today we're going to talk about two qualities, two characteristics that we truly need as women in order to do what God has asked us to do, in order to embrace who God created us to be. And, you know, just recently I was at a women's meeting, I was speaking there. One of the things that they were doing, one of the activities, is that they had groups of women around tables, and each woman was either to bring an article or to share something that kind of described her, that maybe especially things that other women would not have known about her. So it was very interesting to see what these different articles were. Some people brought t-shirts of relays that they had been involved in, or marathons that they had run. Other women brought paintings that they had painted and created, and no one even knew that they were artists. We found out that people played the piano. We found out that some women wanted to go back to school and what it is that they wanted to do. I mean, it was amazing. And as I sat there and listened to the gals at my table and kind of wandered around and overheard some of the conversations, I was just absolutely amazed at how different God made each and every one of us. You know, I just think that's the very cool thing about God. And yet, I wonder sometimes as women how many times we embrace ourselves as fully as God did and does when He created us so uniquely. Does it sadden His heart at times that we just do not see our uniqueness, that we do not embrace it, that we do not develop it to its potential? I wonder if that breaks His heart at times. Well, we're going to talk about actually not just two qualities, but three qualities, but I'll tie that one up at the end. But the first two qualities we're going to talk about are confidence and courage. And before we do, if you don't mind, let's just bow our heads quietly for a few moments. Let's ask this, our Creator, our God, this wonderful God that we have, to just truly touch us where we're at, and to open up our hearts and to make us aware just how much He loves us, to make us aware of just how amazing He made us as women. So let's just bow in prayer. Father, we come before You and just really silence our hearts before You. We want to hear what it is that You have for us. And sometimes we stay so incredibly busy, so incredibly out of control and in hurriedness, and just anything that will distract us from truly embracing who we are. We also are fearful. We're scared. We're scared to show who we are sometimes. And during this next few minutes, we're going to talk about confidence, God confidence. And we're going to talk about courage. And so many before us have gone on with courage to do what it is that You had for them, like Moses and Esther and Ruth and Joshua and the disciples. And most of all, we have the example of Jesus, who with great courage was able to give up his own life for us. Father, thank you that he died, rose again, and now lives with you. And because of that, we have your confidence and your courage to do what you've asked us to do. So, Father, we give these things to you. We ask that you would guide us, teach us, show us your paths today. We pray these things in your very precious name. Amen. I want you to imagine for a moment if I was standing at your dining room table or your kitchen table and I had in my hands a box. Now, it's just a plain box, a brown box, but I want you to imagine that box representing the very first quality we're going to talk about today, which is confidence. Confidence is a really important quality. Let me tell you why. It's because it gives us inner self-assurance that helps us interact effectively with others. It equips us with the belief that we can live out our God-given purpose in life. And the fact is, without confidence, we shrivel up and hide, and we don't believe in ourselves or in God's power working through us. Now, think about that for a moment. Put yourself back into a place where you did not have confidence, in a situation where you did not have confidence, and think about what you were feeling at the time. Did you feel like you were shriveling up and hiding? And did you have a belief in yourself and a belief in God's power working through you? You see, confidence is such an important quality for us to have. And contrary to what the world says and what many self-help leaders say, confidence does not come from believing in ourselves. Confidence comes from having faith in God. You see, confidence is only as good as the one in whom you place your confidence. Now, let me say that again. Confidence is only as good as the one in whom you place your confidence. Listen, ladies, in this case, we are placing our full confidence in God. Who better to trust than God Himself? You know, when I think of confident women, some of these qualities come to mind. I think of women who are problem solvers and risk takers, women who are competent, women who know their purposes in life, and also women who are realistic about their strengths and their weaknesses. I love this next one too, because I think that this is actually the key to confidence. I think a confident woman is really aware of not being qualified for everything. In other words, she's a woman who God uses not necessarily because she knows everything or she's experienced with everything, but because she is usable, obedient, and faithful. Did you get that? You know, I truly, truly believe this, that God doesn't require us to know everything. And you know, sometimes I think we derive our confidence based on the fact of what we know or what we don't know. God isn't concerned about that. What He's concerned about is our hearts. He wants to know, are we usable? Are we obedient? And are we faithful to Him? Because that is when we are the most confident. That's when God gives us His confidence to do what He wants us to do. I think that there are three components to God confidence. I think the number one is that we really do need to know who we are. If we don't know who we are, then our identity may depend on what other people tell us about ourselves. Have you ever had that happen? You're just not quite sure who you are, what you're supposed to be doing, and somebody else keeps dictating to you who you are and what you need to be doing. We need to have a strong sense of who we are and who we are in Christ. The second component to God confidence is this. We need to know why we are here. In other words, we need to know where we fit in. There is nothing that helps us overcome confidence barriers than truly a sense of purpose. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is a scripture that a lot of us are familiar with, but let me remind you about it. I'll read it here. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. Thoughts and plans to give you a hope in your final outcome. thoughts and plans to give you an amazing future. We truly need to know why we are here and where we fit in. The third component to God confidence is this: we need to know what we are worth. You know, girls, I think that we struggle with this one so much. It's really hard for us as women to grasp this. You got to hear it. We are so precious. We are precious, precious, precious in the sight of God and to God. Now, if you need more convincing on that, I just want to encourage you later on today to pull out your Bible and turn to Psalm 139 and you just read through that. You personalize it. You meditate on it. You thank God for what He is telling you about. I just happen to love verse 17 where it says, "How precious and weighty also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast the sum of them." Just think of it right now. Wherever you are listening to this audio, it may be through your iPod. It may be in your car. It might be in your bedroom. It might be while you're making dinner. I'm not quite sure where it is that you're listening to this, but I do know this, that wherever you are, God is thinking so many thoughts about you that it's just unfathomable to even think and be able to put a number on them. They're so weighty, so great is the sum of them. Oh, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that. Read Psalm 139 every day for a month and truly allow those words to sink in, to know how much you are worth to our Heavenly Father. Three components to God confidence: knowing who we are, knowing why we are here, and knowing what we are worth. Wow. Because you see, those components are so very, very important, because if we do not have a strong understanding of who we are, where we fit in, and how much we are worth, then there are these awful things called confidence robbers that eke their way into our lives and steal the God confidence from us. Well, what do those confidence robbers really look like? See if you can relate to any of these. One of them is perfectionism. I just have to be perfect or I failed. Have you ever told yourself that? Here's one. Control. I need to make my family look right because they are a reflection of me. Do you try to control how your family behaves, how they look? You know, one of the things where this is one of the things, I mean, I'm telling you, this is like one of the many things that God has shown me over the years. Women love to control, and it certainly has been an issue in my own life. In fact, it creeped its ugly little head up last week whenever my daughter, my 20-year-old daughter, had a girlfriend of hers in to our home. And you know, it really bothered me that she had done that without asking and checking first. And the reason why I wanted her to check first is not so that she would have permission, but so that I would be able to say, no, this gal can't come into the house because the house isn't looking so-called perfect. Sounds like a combination of perfectionism and control to me, doesn't it to you? You know, God had to work on me through the evening because I just didn't want to give up on that one. I was really upset that somebody saw my house less than perfect and that I had no control over it. Confidence robbers. How about this one? Mistaking feeling for fact. I feel stupid, so therefore I must be stupid. I mean, there are times in our lives without a doubt that we'll do things and we'll think, oh man, what was I thinking? But you see, the problem is when we start believing our feelings. Yeah, you know, we're human. We feel those things, but that's not the truth about us. We are not stupid, even if we feel stupid. Think about other feelings that you've had, feelings that you have mistaken for fact. Those things will rob the confidence, the God confidence from you, and keep you all bound up in that one little thing and not allow you to know who you are, why you're here, and know how much you are worth. Do you ever deflect compliments? You know, like when you have people over for dinner and they say, "Oh man, that was a good meal." It's really hard just to say, "Oh thanks, I'm glad you enjoyed it." And sometimes instead we deflect the compliment by saying, "Oh well, I'm so sorry that it wasn't a gourmet meal," or "I'm so sorry that the meat was just a little overdone," or "I'm so sorry that the meringue on the lemon pie did not kind of collapsed on me." Whatever it is, we deflect the compliment instead of receiving it from the heart where it came from. Now, this is a really good one. This one is comparison. Do you remember at the top of this audio I was telling you about going to the women's meeting and the women were sharing different things about themselves, things that probably they didn't even have the confidence to share with someone else before? And you know what I sensed was happening? That women were comparing themselves to each other. Now, do you do that? I think that's something that we struggle with every single day. In fact, we live in a society that dictates to us what pretty looks like, that dictates to us what our bodies should look like, which dictates to us what our homes should look like. And girls, we can get caught up so quickly in that comparison game. You know, we can say, "I'm not as pretty or as talented or as thin or as successful or as capable or as well-dressed or as outgoing or as holy or as anything else as she is." Wow. Do you know, comparing is another thing that I have really gotten wrapped up in, and I know firsthand how much it just absolutely steals and robs the confidence that God gives us right out of us. It sucks it right out of us. I remember as a young bride visiting this gal's home, and her name was Vicky, and she had a modest home, but beautifully decorated. It wasn't so much the home, it was how she decorated it that I would observe. It was more, I guess you could call it, English cottage. It was just so charming and so quaint and so just beautiful and feminine. And I always felt recharged and renewed when I was there, but I always looked around and thought, "Oh wow, I could do this, and my house isn't like that, so I could copy her on this, and I could," you know, all of those thoughts, taking mental notes before I went home. Well, you see, God did not create me to be English cottage. I appreciate it, and I love it, and my soul feels so renewed whenever I'm around it, but I'm kind of a country girl at heart. I love country things. I love things that have scratches on them and things that have been previously loved. I love primitive articles. And I love filling my home with that kind of simplicity. And so when I would go home and try to rearrange everything that I had gathered from garage sales and try to create a different look, I just wasn't happy with it. And yet I had spent so much energy, you know, a day, a week, a couple of weeks, trying to be like Vicky, because I was comparing my home with her home. I was comparing my style with her style. I was not embracing who God has made me. I rarely do that with my home anymore because I know what I'm most comfortable with. But I sure do it on a daily basis with other things. "Oh, look at her legs. I wish I had legs like that." Or, "Man, I wish I was much thinner like her." Or, "I wish that I could speak like her, or pray like her, or act like her," or, you know, let's be careful we do not get caught up in that confidence robber of comparison. Here's another one, downplaying. Do you downplay your successes? Things that you've done and you've done well? Things that God has given you to do that are within your spiritual gift set, that are within your abilities and talents, and you just shine at it? What happens when somebody talks to you about it or compliments you on it? What happens in your own head, actually? Do you celebrate those successes? Are you just so amazed that God is working through you in this way? Or do you think this, "Well, my success isn't about anything that I have done. I just happen to be lucky, or I just happen to be in the right place at the right time, or I just happen to be connected to the right people. Let's stop downplaying the successes that we have with the things that God gives us to do. How about this one? Another confidence robber, projection. Do you look across a room, maybe at church, and you see a group of women talking or laughing, or maybe one of them glanced your way, and you think inside of your mind, oh, I just know they're laughing at me? Or do you look at somebody and you're just wondering, I wonder what they're thinking, but I'm sure what they're thinking is all about me, and they think I'm such a loser, or that I'm really boring, or they just don't want to be friends with me. We project what other people's thoughts are about us. It's such a confidence robber. Let's be aware of that this week. Let's be aware of that today. Let's be aware of that in our lives and stop that right where it's coming from. Here's another confidence robber. Extreme thinking. Do you ever think in extremes? You know, like something happens and your child fell off the swing or something, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, oh, I'm just such a horrible mother. In fact, I'm the most terrible mother in the world. Have you ever had that experience? Or what about this? You walk into your house and everything is just in such great order, and then you go into the kitchen and there's dishes on the counter and they haven't been washed or put into the dishwasher, and some food is still hanging out on the counter, and you just think to yourself, wow, because my dishes aren't done, my whole house is just such a disaster. Extreme thinking. How about this? I am so useless. I'm just useless. Or I'm just so lazy. And maybe you just had a nap for 10 minutes in the afternoon, but you have such extreme thinking. Extreme thinking steals God's confidence from us. Do you remember how we talked about confidence being an important quality? When you take a look and listen to those confidence stealers, you know, like extreme thinking or comparison or control or perfectionism, or deflecting compliments, or mistaken thinking, all of the ones that we talked about, and there are many more too. But can you actually see how confidence robber steals our inner self-assurance that really helps us to interact effectively with each other? If we're thinking we're a loser, it's really hard to interact with someone else. If we are perfectionist, it's really hard for us perhaps to have people into our homes because it's just not good enough. If we are extreme thinkers and all we can think about is what terrible mothers we are, well, that just steals the self-assuredness and the God confidence that God gives us, that He does give us everything we need to be the moms that He wants us to be. You see, these confidence robbers, they steal the belief that we can live out our purpose in life. They fill us with lies. They feed us with lies. We can't live out our purpose if we're thinking that we are losers, or that we're lazy, or if we're trying to do everything so perfect we can't even get to our purpose, or if we've mistaken feeling for fact. It's impossible. Oh, how the enemy loves to keep us wrapped up in these confidence stealers so that we don't know who we are, so that we don't know where we fit in, and so that we don't know what we are worth, because they cause us to shrivel up and hide so that we do not believe in ourselves or in God's power working through us. And here's the good news. We do not need to live like this. But we do need to look at our lives and discover what it is that is robbing us of our confidence today. You know, I love Jesus' example in John chapter 13. And I'm going to read that right now. John chapter 13, probably I'll read from verses 1 to 5. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon, the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for the betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything. Jesus knew that he came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table, set aside his robe, and put on an apron. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. You know, Jesus knew where he came from. He came from the Father. He knew where he was going. He was returning to the Father. He knew where he fit in. He knew that his purpose was to train and to disciple his disciples. He knew that his purpose, especially for that very moment, was to be an example to serve his disciples by washing their feet. And he knew that his ultimate purpose here on earth was to die on the cross and to take the penalty for our sins, to be raised again and seated at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. Jesus had a clear sense. He had an absolutely clear sense of who he was, where he came from, where he fit in, and how much he was worth. What a great example to us. You know what? I want to go back to your dining room table or your kitchen table, to where we sat that box down on the table. And I want you to imagine that box of confidence is about to be wrapped in the most beautiful paper you've ever laid eyes on. So just think about the prettiest wrapping paper that you have ever used. That wrapping paper is going to represent our next quality, which is courage. You see, you got to get this. Courage is an outward display of the inward quality of confidence. We cannot have courage without having the inward quality of confidence. And so as we talk about this over the next couple of minutes, as we talk about courage, I want you to imagine that you are wrapping that plain but very steady and firm box with this beautiful wrapping paper called courage. Courage is the strength to take the risks, to face the danger, to endure the difficulty, and to withstand the fear. You see, it isn't the absence of fear. You have to experience fear in order to be courageous. I mean, if we didn't have fear, there would be no need for us to be courageous. Courage withstands fear. Let's talk about fear just for a few moments. You know, fear can act like a prison that keeps us trapped and powerless. And you may be thinking, I don't know, Kathy. I don't think I really have a lot of fear in my life. In fact, I can't really think of anything that I'm terribly fearful of. Well, let me ask you something. Here's a question for you. Do you ever worry? Do you ever experience anxiety? Do you lie? You see, worry, anxiety, and lying are companions to fear. They just hold hands. They link arms. They try just to come in and barricade our hearts against God's confidence and the courage that he wants to give us. What is worry exactly? Well, worry happens when you rehearse your fear about a past or future event over and over and over and over and over again. Can anyone out there relate to me? It causes mental distress, torment, disturbance, or agitation, and worry just keeps going around and around and around and around in circles. It's like it's really strangling you emotionally. Are you worried about something today? Just look inside your heart. Are you worried about something today? Are you worried about a mistake that you made in the past? Are you stewing about it, going over and over it? Do you just go, oh man, I just wish I had done that differently? Do you imagine that people are thinking negative things about you? How about when something embarrassing happens, or when you make a little mistake or a little mishap happens? Do you just go over that and over that in your mind and magnify it over and over and over? I want to tell you something that I truly believe. I believe that women who are consumed by worry of the past really have a hard time forgiving themselves and others. Did you get that? Women who are consumed by worry of the past really truly have a hard time forgiving themselves, and they have a hard time forgiving others. If you are having a hard time today forgiving yourself or forgiving someone else, I want you to investigate this. Look into it deeper. Is there something that you are worried about, that you keep holding on to from either your past or perhaps the future? Philippians 3 verse 13 says this, that in our past we need to forget what is behind us and to do our best to reach for what is ahead. Oh yes, if we can forget what's behind us, but we can still sometimes worry about what is ahead. And if you are worried about what's ahead in the future, maybe you're worried about what your kids are, the decisions they're going to make, or how they're going to turn out, or how you will manage financially. I just want to tell you something Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 34, and you probably already know this, but it's so good for us to grab onto it again. Don't worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There is no need to add to the troubles each day brings. Wow, great advice, but so hard for us to do sometimes. There was a French philosopher, and he would always say, "My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened." And Corrie ten Boom wrote, "Worry does not empty today of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength." Is your strength zapped today because you are worried about something that's happened in the past? Maybe you're worried about something that's going to happen in the future. And maybe you can relate to this French philosopher who says your life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which have never happened. Think about that for a minute. What things have you really worried about in your life, and they never, ever even happened? Remember, God, what Jesus says in Matthew 6:34. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries for itself, and you don't need to add to the troubles that each day brings. Let's talk about anxiety for a minute, because anxiety is a little bit different from worry. Anxiety is worry without boundaries. You see, worry is very event specific, but anxiety is just this overwhelming, maybe underwhelming sometimes. It can be high grade or low grade, sense of foreboding or uneasiness. And it's not necessarily associated with something in particular. You just can't quite put your finger on it, but you got the butterflies in the stomach. You're just overcome with anxiety. It's generally a feeling of being upset, maybe over possible misfortune. It can sort of be described as choking, being choked internally by apprehension when you are unable to control the uncontrollable. Do you know that our son, some of you know this already, our son has a hearing loss, and we did not discover this until he was just past 11 years old, and he's 14 now, so maybe 3 years ago. We discovered this, and do you know that when we took Cameron in for a hearing test when we suspected finally that something was wrong, I just found it really interesting because Cameron came out of the booth and he just didn't know that he couldn't hear, because he couldn't hear from the day he was born, and he didn't realize that there was another way to live. He didn't know that this was not normal. And I have had the same experience with anxiety. Anxiety to me is one of my so-called besetting sins. And it wasn't until 2 years ago when I was working with a spiritual mentor and we started to hit on the topic of worry and anxiety that I realized, as I stepped out of the booth, that I had so much anxiety inside of me, that feeling of foreboding. I called it a low-grade fever of anxiety, just constantly with me, worried about something but not sure what I was worried about, worry without boundaries. And I was able to see through my spiritual mentor and through God's word that I had been living this way and didn't even realize it. Just like Cam, he didn't realize that there was a better way to live, that there was something more that he could hear and that he wasn't hearing. Actually, he can't hear, but that there is another way to live. And that was exactly the same way with me. I didn't realize there was another way to live. I mean, I was just so used to being anxious about things. And, you know, hardly anybody would have ever known that. And yet that was something that I carried around inside of me. Now, I want to ask you, because this is just so real to me, I just don't think I'm the only one out there in the world who has done this. Are you carrying around worry and anxiety and you have absolutely no idea and you think this is the normal way to live? I'm here to tell you today, it is not the normal way to live. This is not the way that God wants us to live. He provides a solution for us, and we need to look deeply and find out, are these besetting sins? Are these strongholds in our lives that are keeping us from having the courage to do what it is that God has for us to do, to be who God wants us to be, and to realize just how much we are worth to our Heavenly Father? Here's the solution in Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did I need to find a solution for my anxiety? You bet. And where God directed me was right back to His Word, where the answers are. And my solution to my anxiety was learning to pray. Learning to pray. Learning to pray. Let's talk about lying for a moment. Some of you might be saying, oh my goodness, what does lying actually have to do with fear? Well, in actuality, lying is a common companion to fear. It's a reflex to fear. You see, lying covers up something when we're afraid that we will be found out. It covers up when we fear our mistakes will be criticized. Lying is a reflex when we're afraid of the consequences of our sins. I mean, just think back to your own childhood, or if you have kids or grandkids. You know, you look down and say, Johnny, did you take that cookie? And you know, you can see it in Johnny's eyes. He's like debating, do I say yes? Do I say no? Okay, if I say yes, these are the consequences. If I say no, well, I can just make another lie to cover that lie. It just seems like an easier way out. I don't want to be found out. I don't want to be criticized. And I sure don't want to pay the consequences of my decision when Grandma told me not to go into the cookie jar. And so he looks up at you with those big sweet eyes and he says, nope, didn't do it. You know, we lie to avoid. We lie so that we do not have to face the truth and the consequences. We've become actually very good at lying. It's just not our kids that lie. Here's how I think we lie. I think we've become so good at lying, but we make it look so pretty. One of the ways we lie is by putting the masks on. You know, the masks that hide who we truly are. Because like Johnny, we don't want to be found out that maybe we're not exactly who we say we are. We're fearful that people will criticize us. So we put another mask on and pretend to be something that we are not. Or we lie about mistakes that we have made in the past. We're not truthful about it. We put another mask on because we're afraid of the consequences. And do you know that not only do we put masks on with each other, but we put our masks on with God? And who in the world do we think we are kidding to put a mask on when God knows all? He knows everything about us, and we're still precious, precious, precious in His sight. Imagine, God knows it all, and yet we try to hide. We try to keep a little corner in our heart that's just for us, where we can kind of hide those things that we don't want anyone else to see. We put a big smile on our face. We look pretty with our makeup on and all dressed up. We fix up real good. And yet we are lying. You know, it is the truth that sets us free. And Jesus just desires us to grab onto that truth so that we can be free from the lying, so that we can be free from the fear that is really the driving force behind the lying. Lying never, ever makes things better, but it always will make it worse. I'd heard once that someone said, it's not hard to tell one lie, but it sure is hard to keep track of all the other lies that follow. And that's so, so true. And that's where this quality of courage comes in. When we face those fears, when we are tempted to worry, to have anxiety, to lie, those companions to fear, we must courageously speak the truth into our lives. The truth will set us free. We need to courageously speak the truth about our lives. The truth will set us free. We need to be truthful about where we are right now. The good, the bad, the ugly. We need to be truthful. And when we do, those prison doors of fear open. No longer are we strangled. No longer are we choking. But we are set free to become the real women that God created us to be. We are set free to embrace who we are, where we fit in, and how much we are worth to God. What are you afraid of today? What are you worrying about? Have you lied today or in this last week to cover up something that you don't want someone to know about you? What anxiety? Maybe it's like me, that low-grade anxiety that you just have been carrying around with you. Are you feeling anxiety today? What is it that you are fearing? Could it be that you're fearing danger? You know, that something terrible is going to happen to you? Do you fear ridicule? You just think you will die if anybody makes fun of you or laughs at you. Are you afraid of criticism? You just don't do anything. You don't do what God has asked you to do because you're just afraid somebody will find something wrong with you. How about abandonment? Maybe you've been left before. Maybe you've been left in a relationship. Perhaps it was a marriage. Perhaps it was a betrayal of a friend. But are you afraid now to open yourself up? To open yourself up to be courageous because you are afraid of abandonment? Oh, how about rejection? Boy, that one hurts. You know, some of us, I remember as a child standing in a line and everybody was choosing their gym team or their team for gym. And I was always the last person picked. Well, now I know it's because I really do lack athletic ability, and quite honestly, I understand completely. But you know, as a child, those feelings of rejection, and we can feel rejection even as an adult. If we're not included in things, will they not let me join? Embarrassment. Are you embarrassed perhaps about something that's happened in your past? Are you embarrassed about something that maybe you didn't do, but someone very close to you did, and it affects you, and you're afraid that they're going to be whispering about you? Oh, we can just get so bound up in these fears so that we don't even realize that God has given us the courage, not the not to remove them from us, but the courage to withstand them, the courage to walk through them. Here are a couple of other fears that we can have. The fear of attention. I know that there are people who would rather die than be up in front of a crowd. Oh, I will stand out in the crowd. I don't want that attention. Some people are afraid of success. Some women think, oh, I'm not going to be successful. I won't do that because if I'm successful, then I will have to live up to everyone's expectations. I'm going to have to do it better and bigger the next time, or I'm going to be asked to be on every single committee between here and kingdom come, and I'm just not willing to do that. So I'm just not going to let people know exactly what I can do. Maybe it's failure. You know, we don't step out to do things. We don't have the courage to step out and do things because the fear of failure just consumes us. We're afraid that if we step out, that they will think, they again, whoever these they people are, will think that we're stupid, that we can't get it right, that we're failures, that we're useless, whatever it is, the lies that are there, We're maybe afraid that nobody will believe in us again. We have a fear of our past mistakes, and we have a fear of making mistakes. A fear of being found out, that we're really not as capable as we have projected ourselves to be. That deep down inside, we're an imposter. So, oh man, we walk around with this fear. We have this wonderful mask on that says we are all things to all women. Underneath our shirts, people are sure that we're wearing a big S for Superwoman. Underneath our blouses, when in fact, that is not the truth at all. We are afraid that people will find out that super S on the t-shirt underneath our blouses is peeling off, and peeling off quickly. So let's finish wrapping our box of confidence with the wrapping paper of courage, because it's courage that's what's seen on the outside by people. When we know who we are, when we know why we are here, and where we fit in, and when we know what we are worth, and when we know that God confidence gives us the courage to face our fears, then we can say, as Joshua said in Joshua 1 verse 9, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not let the fear of danger, of ridicule, of criticism, of abandonment, of rejection, of embarrassment, of attention, of success and failure, of mistakes, of being found out, do not let those things keep you bound up in fear. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be discouraged that you are not perfect. Do not be discouraged that you don't have it all together. Do not be discouraged that you don't know all things. You are not God. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And the fact is, we do not need to know all things. We do not need to be all things, because we have the Lord God who will be with us wherever we go. Confidence that God gives us on the inside, wrapped up in courage on the outside. And no present is complete without a bow. Oh, girls, we need a bow on every present. And I'd like to suggest today that our bow is the bow of humility. So stand at your kitchen or dining room table right now, and I want you to start tying that bow onto your present. Oh, it's a beautiful bow. It's a Martha Stewart bow. Gorgeous, gorgeous ribbon. And I want to talk to you just for a minute about humility. The fact is, girls, we cannot do this on our own. We do not have the courage and the confidence on our own. And as much as the books that are lining the shelves at Chapters in Indigo want to tell us that, yes, indeed, we can do it on our own, we cannot. That is the truth that we must speak into our lives. We just don't muster up self-confidence and self-courage. But what we must do is we must humble ourselves before God and ask Him for His confidence and for His courage. We must humble ourselves by giving Him our fears of being embarrassed, our fears of success, our fears of being ridiculed, our fears that people are talking about us or thinking negative things about us. We must humble ourselves by giving Him our worries. They are not ours to carry. In fact, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 talks about that. Jesus is giving us an invitation for rest for our souls. He says, hey, are you tired, weary, overwhelmed? Are you just tired of living life the way that you're living it? I have a solution for you, He says. I want you to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I want you to pass it over to Me. Take My yoke upon you, but don't carry your big old burden everywhere you go. Let Me carry that for you. Give it to Me. In Philippians, we're once again told, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer with thanksgiving. Give it over to God. Give it over to Jesus. Let Him carry those things. Ah, girls, if we could just humble ourselves before our God and say, I can't control it anymore.
I must not worry about this anymore. I can do nothing about what happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. This worry is strangling me. It's choking me. It's taking away all the strength that I have for today. We need to be honest. We need to be honest about our lying. We need to start peeling back those masks of lies that we've put over ourselves in order to present ourselves in a much more socially acceptable way. We need to face the truth. We need to stop lying to ourselves, stop lying to others, and most of all, we need to humble ourselves and stop lying to God. We need to welcome Him to that very place within us, that place that we have kept hidden in the deep corners of our hearts, where we think, okay, I'll give Him 3/4, and I will tell Him 3/4, but I'm going to keep that pretense and those worries and that anxiety. I mean, after all, He is God. Who wants to, you know, He doesn't want to hear about all my petty things. No, He's saying, humble yourself before Me. Humble yourself before Me. And just show Me and tell Me and pass on your burdens. Because when you do, when you tie up confidence and when you tie up and wrap that up with courage, with a big bow of humility, God stands before us and He says, I will show you who you are. I will show you your purposes. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will show you the path you are to walk on. And He will assure us. He will assure us of just how much we are worth to Him. We will know that we know that we know how much we are worth to our Heavenly Father. How about you today? Are you willing to lay aside your fears? Are you willing to lay aside the confidence robbers that are keeping you from knowing who you are, that are keeping you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life, that are keeping you from knowing exactly what you are worth in God's sight? Are these things keeping you from being and embracing all that God has made you to do and be? Tie that big old bow on that present. Humble yourselves today before our Almighty God. Father, thank You so much for these truths from Your Word, truths that You give us so that we can live lives that are honoring to You, live lives that are powerful, live lives that will allow us to be a part of world changing, that allow us to influence our own world in amazing, unbelievable ways. May we be able to set aside all of those things that keep us from knowing Your confidence, from grabbing on to Your courage, Father, and from humbling ourselves before You. Help us to grab on to these things. Help us to speak this truth into our lives, to speak this truth over our lives and to one another. So, Father, do what You need to do in each of our hearts. May we be open to hear. Show us Your ways. God is on Your paths. We wait expectantly for You. I pray these things in Your very precious name. Amen.